This is CliffCentral.com.
So ladies and gentlemen, as you're about to enter into the shortest hour in the week, I'd like to welcome you and hope that you're about to enjoy the ride we're about to have. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Unplugged Radio Show.
Yeah, baby! Yeah! Welcome to it. It's another one of those really great days. This is the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. I'm Wizza That Guy, and I'm also right here with my main man.
Yeah, Simpiwe Petros.
You know it. Simpiwe Petros. He wanted me to say it because I say it better. Simpiwe Petros. How you doing, brother?
Oh, good, champ.
I'm fired up. I'm on top of the world. Welcome. Do you realize that I'm on top of the world? Let me tell you something. I'm standing right now. Let me just stand real quick. I'm standing, and when I look below me is the world. And you right here with me. So let me shake your hand, sir. Welcome to the top of the world. You're right here with me, sir. We are on top of the world right now.
All right.
You realize that?
I feel it.
Yeah, man. It's just a different perspective. I told everybody that this is winning season. I ain't done winning yet. I'm out here, man. I'm still winning. Guess what? I'm still winning. I told people about a month ago this is winning season, and it's not stopping yet. In fact, I'm already in the second year of 2017. I don't know where you at. You better catch up. Come on, guys. We got to keep on winning, man. Keep on winning. Keep on keeping on. Yeah, man, that's how I'm feeling right now. Yeah,
so much energy, bro. Like,
I told people, like, if I say to you, hey, man, how you doing? If someone asks me first, I'm like, I'm absolutely fantastic, and how you doing today? And if they say I'm good, then I'm like, then get out of here.
Come back tomorrow. With a whole American accent and everything.
Get out of here. Come back tomorrow. If you're not absolutely fantastic, you better come back tomorrow, because being fantastic is not a condition. It's a decision.
Mm.
Yeah. You gotta decide that you're doing good. You gotta decide that your life's on track.
Preach, where's up? Preach.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm about these days. We got a crowd of people looking at us right through the window, guys. Like, the whole NetBank team is here, and they're watching us. They're having a seminar right here at the studio, so it's gonna feel a little awkward. But guess what? I ain't gonna let nobody get in front of my greatness.
All right,
I'm out here. I'm out here. It'll be great, guys. Absolutely fantastic. I'm feeling good, man. I'm hoping you feeling good too, because feeling good is a decision, guys. You wake up in the morning and you say, you know, somebody asked me, hey, how's your day looking like? You know, people normally say that, and then now you're supposed to say what you're going to be doing. They ask me, how's your day looking like? I'm like, it's looking like winning. Yeah, I've already declared it. I'm about to go out and I'm about to win. Watch out, world.
It's looking like a whole amount of beautiful.
Yes, yes.
I feel you, bro.
Yes.
I feel you, man. That's a whole lot of energy.
That's
okay,
it, man.
I want to absorb some of your energy, but I want to kick off the show differently this week. You know, I got an audio clip that I want to play for you.
I hope it's not going to make me sit down, because I'm already standing.
Nah, I think it's going to hype you up, bro.
Okay, cool.
I think it's going to hype you up. Have a listen right here, bro.
There will be days where heaven does not seem so close. When there seems to be no hope. Your back is hugging the ropes and that stomach could use some bread.
When the air in your lungs feels like lead.
But all the fight in your breath has disappeared and left.
Strive during the tough weeks, the ones where everything feels like Monday morning, the train ran local, and you keep spilling your coffee at the desk of a job that looks nothing like the misspelled poster pinned to that dreamy first grade call when they asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Anything but a coward. During the long walks to work, your wallet is filled with the lint of last month's bills, knees weak from dusting your life problems under the rug of success.
There will be times when you're at your lowest point.
You are the ash of a phoenix with clipped wings that will never rise. You are a broken levee, unable to control the drowning of your household.
Strive during the sting and the swallow of the worst beating, the black eye, the bloody lip, the 5 seconds after you caught her cheating.
The unprayable eruption of rage, the millisecond before the body becomes a landmine, trigger ready to burst into smoke.
Things will fall apart, break, rapture, rip at the seams. When your spirit is starving and your heart's got plans on becoming a martyr.
When the aftermath of blood and battlefield pours itself into the flesh of the universe.
And the scars grow so thick there's barely any skin left.
When the fog dwindles upward into the empty spaces between the clouds and the pain rains down.
Tumbling to the sound of screams and unattainable dreams as they mummy the land.
When lust is seen to have mangled the spine of love. Strive.
May the days you wished you were someone else
never return.
May you learn the braille of glory and happiness into the sidewalk, sing with
everything you truly are.
To the street corners, cave in your name, and the nightmares are no more.
May the faith engulf depression into ash. May the quiet of demons be muffled, silent like the breeze of an explosion. May the hands,
the breath,
the pulse,
the feet
push forward until every doubter quakes with fear, and the buildings beat with the blood of our existence. Strive!
May you learn to mend yourself.
May the muscle flex in the eye of defeat.
May the tears spring from the face of the wounded.
May the vulnerable stand monumental and moveless.
Strive like you're a marching band of single mothers, and you smelled your kid's dream, so you know you gotta make it.
An immigrant worker slaving to feed the belly of your country two oceans away. Strive
like your heart's the size of a blue whale.
Like you're shouting to the edge of your fingertips. Strive
like Nina Simone is singing at the finish
line. Like Toussaint Louverture picking the locks from our ankles and wrists. Strive
like you know prisons are man-made, but minds are God-made.
So Harlem, shake that gospel out of your bones. Strive like you got biracial hair in Birmingham. You're that girl, and you got 10 things to say to a black woman. There will be days when heaven doesn't seem so close. When the dust settles,
when the smoke clears,
only the power of will shall remain. Those who fight shall conquer.
During the toughest of weeks,
the longest of walks,
the days when heaven doesn't seem so close. Strive.
It's heavy, right?
Yeah. In the beginning, I was like, no, man, this is too deep. Oh my gosh, what's going on? And then it started picking up. And wow.
So the reason why I played that clip is, as much as you're saying we're in a winning season, as much as you have to win individually, you got to realize that on the other side of you winning is somebody else's victory as well. And it's time that we strive, not just for ourselves, because I feel like when we're just pushing for ourselves, we're never going to get to the stage where we can push through the barriers and break through for other people as well. So it's time to get to a stage where you are striving for a legacy that's beyond your life, beyond your children's life, greater than your grandchildren's children, dog. It's like three or four generations down. That's where you get to. That's where we need to get to. We need to be very intentional with the lives that we are living, because I'm not trying to create like a new money kind of life. I'm talking about that old money where I'm long gone, but my kids are still eating, or my grandchildren's children are still eating because of my sacrifice. Yeah. That's the type of winning we got to get to. Yeah. So I want to emphasize each and every one of you, like, no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what your journey is, there is a beautiful ending to it, and that you can make it no matter what. You just got to keep on striving. You got to keep on fighting. You got to keep on holding on to the purpose that you have, because that's the biggest thing. We got to dig deep in these days and not just scratch the surface. We got to tackle the injustices of the time and rise above them, bro. That's how I feel. We got to rise above, man.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's very true, man. I think what you're saying about legacy is actually something that's really important, that we are not, I mean, Jay-Z said it in one of his new songs. He's really not, I'm not going to quote him in exact words, because it's a little strong language here and there. But what he's trying to say is that he doesn't like this thing of living rich and dying poor.
Yeah.
And that's literally, you know, that's the Instagram life, you know, the life on fleek, eyebrows on fleek, always on a holiday. 13 months out of 12.
Yeah.
How can you? You've seen those people.
Yeah.
Like, when do you work? Where do you work?
Exactly.
Where you get the money for these holidays, you know?
Damn.
People are always out here boomeranging Seychelles and Mauritius and things, and you're thinking, do you own a property yet?
Dog, what do you eat for dinner every day? You eat 2 minute noodles, like,
you know what I mean?
You're always on holiday, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, It's so crazy that I see a lot of young people our age on these boat cruises, and they're overseas on lovely holidays, you know, splurging. And obviously it costs some money. I mean, tickets to fly and come back would probably be set you about 20 grand. And you're still going to need spending money and traveling money when you're there, and accommodation and your visa and all these things. So easily 50, 60 grand could have been spent in that trip.
Just one trip.
And you wonder, and these guys normally have no property yet. They don't own anything yet. They don't have, you might say, I have a car, but the car is not an asset. It's
a depreciating asset.
It's not like having property, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd wonder, you know, what are we doing? Are we are we so preoccupied with trying to live rich, you know, trying to make sure that people know that we're living that life, that lifestyle, you're my lifestyle, you're my lifestyle, you're my life.
You even know? Do the moves, though.
You know, so many people want that lifestyle, the one from the music videos, you know.
But why do you think they want it, though? I think that's the biggest thing we need to address here, because there is an underlying reason and a pursuit for a facade that doesn't even really exist.
I think it is millennials. Millennials want to be famous.
Yeah.
Millennials want to live like the rich and famous because that's what TV brought.
Yeah.
Before us, TV was still very new and people didn't know what to put on TV. In fact, some research indicates that the first ads on TV were voiceover artists reading the ad. Imagine.
Yeah.
So back in the days, rich and famous was not a thing to put on TV. They didn't know what to put on TV. TV's new. Actually, TV's really new.
Yeah.
And internet is just as new. In fact, internet is like brand new, still has the tag on it. When you get into internet, you still get that new car smell. That's how new internet still is.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of us feel like it's been around forever because we got born and next thing there was internet and we don't know a life without it. But older people will tell you that, man, this stuff just got here now. Actually, with you, you got here exactly when this stuff got here. Mm. So we don't know it too, and we don't know what it can do. We don't know its impact or anything. So I think that its impact has made everybody want to live like the Kardashians. Everyone's out here taking a selfie about what they're eating because they think what they're eating is so amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to, you know, take a selfie of the new shoes, outfit of the day, because they think we are all so waiting to see what you're wearing
today. So basically everybody wants to be seen by everyone.
Yeah. People are like, I've lost weight. Oh my gosh, look at the gains. I'm like, what the hell? Do you think we want to see your thighs and your gains and your losses?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People are so self-centered around selfies and, you know, it's an alliteration of the S, really. Yeah. Selfie, self-centered, selfish. Yeah. Baba,
your whole design. Yeah.
And with that is the whole get money, spend money.
Yeah.
And blow credit, whatever you can get, you just need to look attractive, because that's what emerging markets are all about. They're about trying to look the part, trying to look better than what the generation before you did, and saying that, hey, a few years ago my dad was using a bicycle, now we have a Beamer, you know. It's that's that and then there's This society, especially the economy that we are in, applauds that, you know. It applauds, like Vusi Temegwai was saying at this event once, actually about 2 weeks ago. He was saying a car, for instance, something like an SLK.
Yeah.
You will never, like, you're losing so much money when you're financing that thing, because by the time you finish paying it off, you've paid so much money and yet it is worth so little of that money. And if you run into any problems, they could take it away. And when you, for instance, let's say trying to go into business and you use a lot of your money and it's not really quite showing up just as yet, or even if you buy a property that doesn't cost half what this SLK costs, people applaud this SLK. People applaud this car so much, yet it means so little to you in an economical sense. Maybe it means more to you in the social sphere, but that's all.
So basically, I think what you're saying is that so many people are focused on themselves, right? And they want to draw attention to themselves rather than really being a solution to the world's needs to some degree. So I think the solution to what we're facing and this thing is really getting over yourself. To some degree, you really need to get over yourself and realize that life is not necessarily all about you, but really making an impact with the life that you live. People will remember you for the value you added into other people's lives, not necessarily what you did for yourself. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, but how do you hustle without, like, so what you're saying is you're not seeking to make your entrance felt, but your presence missed. So, I mean, your absence missed.
So your presence will only be felt, like basically what I'm saying, your presence will only truly be appreciated once they truly value your absence, or they understand the fact that you contributed so much to their lives. Mm. So it's one thing.
So some people hate this thing of getting the roses when they're dead.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you. So basically, not receiving the acknowledgement.
People want the applause.
They want it now. So now,
as loud as possible.
So now the question comes to: Are you doing it for the cause or the applause? Because there is a difference.
So if Lesego was here, he was gonna say, I think it's possible to get both. Like Lesego.
Lesego will say like this.
He's a cutthroat guy.
Lesego will say, okay, well, first and foremost, what's the value proposition? How am I getting value from this? That's what he'd first say. And how much am I making from this?
You know?
Like, that's who Lesego is.
And then he says, okay, cool. So if people benefit in the process, great.
That's great, because I benefited.
Yes.
So, but that's a beautiful thing, because Lesego knows who he is, and he knows what he wants in life.
Mm.
But my thing is, I think we live in a culture where we're drawing attention to ourselves and not really cultivating, creating solutions that meet the future, our current needs to create the future, right? So how do we really become the solution to the things that we are facing?
You know, it's so interesting, because I remember once we hosted a seminar, and we had a gentleman who's a professor, Thokozani Majozi, really esteemed and qualified professor. Mm. I mean, you can Google him. He's absolutely very accomplished.
Yeah.
And at the now I think he serves at WITS, and he serves pretty high up there, and also at CSIR as well. So before this time, he was at the University of Pretoria, and we asked him to come and speak at an event that we were hosting, and he agreed, which, by the way, is like very impossible, but somehow he agreed, maybe also because I was a student. And then we made a poster. Obviously, we need to attract students to come to this thing.
Yeah.
So we Google a nice picture of him winning an award. So we take that picture with Khalima Mutlanti giving him this award, and it looks pretty cool, and he's holding this award, and we're saying, come meet the black coffee of science, you know? And we say, you know, life-changing, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're trying to hype this thing up so that students will come, because, I mean, it's so hard. It's crazy. That's another thing, by the way, I want us to maybe one day speak about, or even today later, that some students, especially varsity students, like you, Tux, for instance, have this thing of, they're already set. Like, life is set for them.
They don't need
nothing. Yeah. So when you're trying to help them, you have to beg them to help them.
Mm.
You're like, why do I have to beg you to help you? Like, isn't help just here? And then you realize that, shucks, that thing could help me.
Yeah.
And then you come for it. Instead, these guys are like, I don't know why I should be doing this. I don't understand that. But anyway, so now we had to hype this thing up so that we can, you know, beg them to help them.
Yeah.
And students came, man. It was packed, really packed. But just before that, in fact, also on the day, Mr. Thokozani Majozi, Professor Thokozani Majozi, had problems with this. First of all, he said, why did you guys put my picture on the poster? I don't do that stuff.
Mm.
Scientists do not do that stuff. Actually, what he meant is scientists of his generation don't do that.
Yeah.
Because what he was saying is that we want our name and our work to speak for us.
Yeah.
So it's not like, hear my face, say my face. No. If you say my name and the work, it must speak for itself.
Yeah.
You didn't have to put a picture of me holding an award for people to get the fact that I'm big. My name should have been enough.
Exactly.
Say, Thokozani Majozi is coming. It should have been enough. You should have put some other picture of a person doing some scientific things, but not me.
Mm.
That's how. And they are so not self-centered.
It's
a different way. It is about, let my contribution to science speak.
That's what I'm talking about. Not
me, who I am. Yeah, yeah, look at my face. Hey, look at who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, my contribution to science must do all the talking. So say rather, Thokozani Majozi, founder of this, inventor of this, and also did that. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Not, hey, my face, hey, black coffee of science. And that was actually quite interesting, you know, a totally different way of doing things. And I don't think that the millennial scientists would feel the same, because I see dentists who take selfies of themselves now. Mm. I see dentists who are out there, you know, at award ceremony and a summer awards and in people's music videos. I'm like, but you're a dentist, you know, but I have a dentist. I have a, my dentist has he's got a tattoo, a sleeve,
yeah,
and a mustache, and he's cool now. And it's new stuff. He wasn't like this a month or two ago. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay. And it is clear that, you know, the millennials, though they assume certain jobs, but they have this self-centered look at me thing about them within their job.
Do you think that's a strength or a weakness?
I think it is unique.
Okay.
Right now, we're not sure if it is a strength or a weakness yet.
We're trying to figure that out.
We're trying to figure out, because it's new. It's new, and it could mean anything. It could mean good, because some guys use that whole thing, and then they're able to become celebrity dentists.
Mm.
And now they charge more than others, and it's just because they're famous.
Okay.
And with some, you know, you think, like, it sometimes it takes away the esteem or the value of a certain character.
Mm.
Or like, we maybe you think of, when you're thinking of a, let's say when you think of a minister, before South Africa, what was your description of minister? Like mine before South Africa.
South Africa.
Yeah, not South Africa. South Africa.
Yeah.
Before South Africa, minister, president, those two things for me were like, whoa,
highly
that's
esteemed.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yes, like, wow, you're going to meet a minister? It was crazy, you know? And you expect, and there are still ministers who are like that. You expect only the most esteemed things to come out of a minister's mouth. You expect them to walk with poise and dignity, and you want to walk slower. You want to lower your voice when you speak to them and hold both your hands when you're speaking. And, like, you know, wear your best clothes,
because
you're meeting a minister. And you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the gravity a minister is supposed to have. Ah, South Africa, you have ministers taking selfies, you have ministers talking rubbish about people using Uber, and you're like...
And then the sonas are the award ceremonies for the
it's
year.
So, like, you know what I mean? And these guys are not millennials, but they are influenced by the millennial behavior.
So do you think that the current culture is making them conform? So they conform to the culture?
Because they're trying to appeal to the next generation of voters.
Yeah.
The next generation of voters, 2018 and beyond, these millennials are going to be the ones. The selfie kids, the Twitters, the Instagrams, the Facebooks.
Sure.
So if we are on them and we speak their language and we are vibey and we are trendy and we trend all the time, guess who's going to be the next president?
Definitely.
The dude that is on Twitter, Donald Trump. You know what I mean? So as much as it is crazy to the conservative Generation Z, I mean Generation X, or and the even more conservative Generation Y, but Generation Z, the millennials, anything goes.
Late.
We forgive fast.
We forget easily. That's
I mean, Donald Trump was the one who tweeted long ago, if I ever run for president, I would go and be a Republican, because those guys are so gullible, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Forget 1, 2, 3. They forgot so easily.
Yeah.
Even if you bring back the text and you say, yo, remember he tweeted this in 2001 or whatever. People are like, oh man, but that was... Oh, one Donald Trump.
He's changed,
you know.
Man.
He's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tweet, guys. You need to get over it.
Mm.
And so what I'm seeing now is our ministers are starting to become like that. I mean, like when I meet some of them now, I'm, you know, not all of them. Still, as I said, there are some ministers who really still give you that thing that
esteem. Yeah.
Yeah, that esteem. But some of them are pop and place ministers, man. You meet them and you're like, yeah, nigga. You
know, I'll see you on Saturday. Drinks, right?
You know,
yeah.
And you're thinking, Aish, man, they're pulling down the stature of what it's supposed to mean to be a minister.
I feel you, bro.
Mm.
Okay, so the reason why I was asking if it's a strength or a weakness, because I'm trying to understand, what do we need? Like, is it a lack of purpose, maybe? Do we need to try and figure out our purpose? Or how we can
people,
use...
Yeah. I think, you know what? People are not... People have... have stopped giving.
Yeah.
People are like, I don't give a F. You know?
Exactly.
And people are starting to take more than they give.
So basically, some people give because they want to get. And that's the problem.
Also. Like, in almost anything. In almost anything these days. It's so hard to get people to come along to something unless you can convince them of what they're going to get.
Yeah.
And normally, they don't just want a feeling. They want something in the pockets, like you say, hey, let's start an NPO, or let's do this, or let's do that. Like, somewhere underlying, like if you say to someone, hey man, help me push this car, they're thinking, who are you? What, maybe you can do something for me after we've pushed this car.
Yeah.
And there's not that whole, no, you don't have to do anything for me. It goes to the as far as you know, when you give a girl a lift.
Yeah.
When you give a girl a lift, what are you expecting?
That's
do you want her number? Do you want?
Should it
be a fling now?
And that's the sad thing, because there's always intentions behind everything now. So there's no, there's no honesty, there's no integrity, there's no just.
There are some guys. I was having a chat with some guys a couple of weekends ago, and it was exactly about that.
Yeah.
It was like, yo, look, if I give a girl a lift, dog, no, Baba, I can't just drive out of my way. He's like, first of all, If I'm going from here to Midrand and that girl lives in Joburg, I'm sleeping in Midrand. But what he means is that the car's not going to pass Midrand. And if she really wants to go to Joburg, she'll wake up in the morning from my place and go to. And I'm like, huh? Can't, like, yo. What happened to saying, hey, look, it's okay, I'll help you out? Then they're like, ah, for what? My petrol. And I'm thinking, yeah, fine, let's say she really didn't have money, but now she's here and she needs your help.
She really needs your help,
And what else could you do? Now she has to pay you in kind?
Yeah.
It's messed up. And it's really just how, it's so weird. It's as if you give a girl a lift, and then you drive all the way far there where she lives.
Yeah.
And you drop her off. And you're just like, all right, cool, have a good night. And you close the door. Even she's like, whoa.
She's so surprised, yeah.
What? He didn't even try something? Nothing. Just nje. That guy is wrong. Something's wrong with him.
Exactly.
And now,
it's sad. No, it's sad.
You know, because it has now become the new minimum.
It's the norm now. That's the thing. Mm. It's a sad thing, and that's the norm. And I think that's the thing, bro. We need to get to a stage where we realize that it's far better to give than to receive. That's the purpose behind it. And for me, I feel the fact that our generation specifically doesn't know how to find their purpose because there's so much out there. Social media is great and all that, but I think it's so distracting if you're continually consumed by pushing out content that points people towards you always.
Tell me, what used to be the thing that, like, how did people teach people that, no, you can do something for someone and not expect something back? Like, what did, is it because maybe you saw your dad do something for someone and then?
I think it's leadership, bro. Like, you see it from your parents first. And for me, I always say leadership is example. So you see the example of somebody you really look up to and how they handle themselves and carry themselves. And that's how you knew how you're supposed to do things.
Or maybe after that time, people started going to work, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Then only the nanny is at home and she's taking care, but she's not taking care of you from love.
Mm.
She's taking care of you because she's going to get paid.
Exactly.
So you associated, like, yeah, you only do good things because you know mom's going to pay you.
Yeah.
And even me, I'll only do good things because I know someone here is going to give me money.
Exactly.
Do you think that might be?
I think it influences a lot of the things, but I think we need to get to a stage where we make a decision for ourselves and really find out how we can play a part in contributing and influencing the culture. I'm really firm on influencing the culture.
I've heard this thing once that there's nothing more fulfilling than helping someone who has no means of paying you back.
Exactly. And you know, if you, like, I think the most important thing you need to realize about purpose, and I'm going to play a clip right now, is that purpose is something that you pursue no matter what. Like, you don't even need to get paid for it because you're that passionate about it, you know. If you can immerse yourself into something and you're completely passionate about it, when you pursue that purpose, money naturally follows you. Mm. And those are the things that we've heard in the past. But have a listen to this, and then now let's continue this discussion because it's going deep, eh?
A lot of people ask me, how do I know what my true purpose is? The answer is the difference between a career and a calling. is the difference between satisfaction and fulfillment. It is the difference between an interest and a passion. What is the difference between an interest and a passion? So many people are interested in this, interested in that. But see, when you go to marry somebody, you don't get down on one knee and say, baby, will you marry me? I am interested in you. No. No, you don't do that unless you want to get smacked in the face and then left. You gotta say, baby, I am passionate about you. You complete me. I cannot truly live this life without you, without us together. That's operating from the heart. And if you don't operate from the heart, I can guarantee you'll live a life climbing a ladder. And if you get to the top, you will realize that it was laying against the wrong wall. They say never become too good at something you hate, or they will make you do it for the rest of your life. So look, ask yourself these three questions. What are your natural talents? What is something you enjoy doing? What is something that you can't shut up about? You gotta read, write, and talk about it. That's how you get closer and closer to your mission or purpose in life. Still confused? Okay, so I believe that the best teacher of how to live life is death. Legend has it that when we are on our deathbeds, we will be visited by ghosts. These are the ghosts of our ideas, dreams, abilities, talents given to us by life. And if we never acted on that idea, never pursued that dream, never worked on those skills, used our voice, or wrote that book, then those ghosts will say, we came to you, and only you could have given us life. But now, we must die with you forever. So ask yourself this question, my friends. Engage this thought experiment. If you had 1 year to live, 365 days, and whatever you chose to do, you were guaranteed to succeed at, what would you do? Chances are that is what you should be doing right now.
And that's exactly what it's all about, bro. It's really figuring out what you need to do with your life. If you had a year left to live, what would you do with your life? How would you live that life? Because there is an urgency in that type of situation. And I think one of the greatest things I heard from that clip was the fact that he said, never become too good at something you hate, because they will make you do it for the rest of your life. Hey, that thing is deep, bro.
And I mean, I think there are many people who are very good at something, but they actually hate the job.
Yeah.
But they've just become good at it. Sometimes, interesting enough,
yeah.
Your parents maybe forced you to be good at maths because that's what they wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you became good at it. And then they said, okay, now go study this or that. And then you said, ish, but that's not what I want to do. But then you became good at it.
Yeah.
And now they're like, no, but you're so good at it. You're like, yeah, I know, but no, you're good. Like, listen. Go
for it.
And then now you're there.
And now you feel like you're dying inside, dog.
But you're getting promotions.
Hey, you're getting promotions. You're getting all the money in the world, but you feel like you're dying inside.
And I think it happened to people like Bruce Jenner. This boy think I'm too good at it, but it's not me.
Yo, I know it.
Okay, cool. But not exactly Bruce Jenner. But what I mean is the Bruce Jenner type of career.
Yeah.
Where you, deep down, you're a doctor, man.
Yeah.
But now you're here doing mechanical things, and you're thinking, this is not me, man. I want to deal with people. I want to solve those problems.
Yeah.
And now you're too good at this one, so everyone is telling you why you should, and then debt is also telling you why you should.
And the system is locking you down time, bro.
Then it actually comes to life what this guy says, that life situations will force you to do that thing for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Then that's where the midlife crisis comes in.
Yeah, hey, it's now the quarter life crisis, bro.
Hey,
I love how millennials are really accelerating things, dog. Like,
yeah, I'm telling you, everything happens way faster in millennial life. Like those guys took longer to decide on things.
Yeah.
Aye, millennials, Baba. Now you're deciding, hey, Baba, this is not good for me. It's going too slow. I want that. I want that. I want that. Millennials, I think another thing, thanks to TV, we think that we can be anything, and so we actually want to be everything. Yeah. You get so many guys who are coming to audition for casting, for instance, who are doctors or scientists, or you know, in the biochemistry field.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're out here trying to be an actor or a singer or a poet, or and you're thinking, oh yeah, because you could do it all, right? You know.
Yeah.
And I think that is also what TV taught, because one moment you're watching Eminem and you're like, yo, I so want to be Eminem. Yeah. Then you're watching your TV, you're like, I want to be your TV too. Then you, and then, you know, you see top billing and you're like, yo, even that one.
I can do it all.
I want all these things, man. Like, so many times where I host these workshops and I say, hey, so look, I offer MC and public speaking, radio presenting, voiceovers. Which one do you want? And then be like, actually, I want all of them.
All of them.
Oh, okay. And yeah. that's the dilemma of the millennial.
Yeah, bro, it's quite crazy.
So, I mean, we're still talking about giving back. We're still talking about living a life of contribution and trying to really leave a legacy, if we can put it that way, and you know, enrich people with your presence in everything that you do as well, so that it's not just about you, but it's also about, you know, the benefit of the people around you as well. We've got a lovely lady right here in studio. She's got that smile like she knows us. You know what I mean? That's because about a year or so ago, she has actually joined us before.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always really great. I mean, we always promise people like, wow, man, we need to carry on this conversation. The time was too short.
Yeah.
And at least now we could actually fulfill that promise, right? So I've got Thuli Smego right here with us, a lovely lady. And if you're new to her, some of you might be, just a quick 1-2 about her. She's an entrepreneur, philanthropist, MC, speaker, founder of TS Management Consultancy, co-founder of Girls Invent Tomorrow, founder of the Next Gen Leadership, director at Ideology Agency. My goodness, she got awards, man. She got things. This girl right here, actually this woman now, she got a sparkling thing on her left hand. You know what I mean?
She's truly the everything. Truly the everything,
man. Somebody put a ring on it just because of that. It's like, man, oh man, look at all this. I'm gonna get you, and I'm gonna make sure that I give you all the cows you need. Thuli, how you doing?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Oh, you're fantastic. Good, tell me, how high was the lobola, Thuli?
Not high. My family really? Is about making me for sale. It's about family. It's about families coming
Two
together.
Two cows. No, one cow.
No, guys.
Chicken.
Beef.
Braaipak.
Yeah.
Voroso and then,
exactly.
Braai. Umye Braai. Ah, this is fantastic. You have a sister.
Exactly. I'm the baby taken. The last one.
Ah, tragic.
Slay for you, Wizard. Slay for you, bro.
I know. I'll wait for the next generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Hashtag next gen, right?
Yes, you got it.
All right. Absolutely fantastic. So, Thuli, thank you very much for joining us. We're chatting about a couple of things here. We're talking about millennials and how people are so self-centered these days, you know, and it's less about giving back or in fact giving in total, not without expecting anything back, you know. It so often, for instance, I see you have a couple of NPO type of ventures as well. So often when you start it, you're thinking, but how am I benefiting from this? And you're like, no, but that was not it. That's not why I started this.
Yeah.
But then it's hard to convince the people that, especially millennials that want to work with you, that, guys, let's do this for the kids. And then we're going to get money, then we're going to use it all for the kids. Yeah. And then like, can't we keep some of it? Like, no, this is for the kids.
Yeah.
Tell us about that journey for yourself.
I think for me, you know, I think a lot of the stuff that I'm doing and I've learned and how my life has changed, it's upbringing. You know, I was raised by the most amazing mother. My mom was really like, I call her a power woman. You know, for her, she always believed that, you're not here in this world alone. You know, you live in a world with other people, and whatever you do, you need to think of the next person. So from when we were kids, we were encouraged to think of other kids, to think of people around us, to think of people who we know that might be struggling, that might need help, and not just focus on ourselves and be self-centered, like I know you guys spoke about earlier. So one of the things that she did for us when we were kids, which is where I am now today, is you know, when you're young, when you've got school uniform, you've got school shoes, you outgrow it very quickly, and you always want the latest, you want the new shoes, you want all this stuff. So we had a culture at home where things that we didn't want, we had to put in a box. And that box was a box we used to give away to charity. And it was one of the things that she taught us to do. And she said, just because you don't want something or you've outgrown something, think of the next person. There might be somebody who would appreciate the jersey or might appreciate the shoes. So one of the things that we did with her was we'd take our uniform, we'd take our toys, we'd take all the things that we had that we didn't want, and we'd go give it away. Charity, we'd visit the families, we'd know the families we were giving our stuff to. And those families end up becoming part of our family. So I think, you know, when you grow up in an environment like that, and you get taught to think of Ubuntu, basically. I mean, I think that is the culture of how we grew up back then. And you grow up in an environment like that, and you have a mother who encourages that, and you have a father that speaks the same thing. You know, it starts becoming you. It starts becoming a part of who you are. So I think my journey growing up and the things that I did, the decisions that I made with my businesses, or even at school, you know, at school I was part of I did outreach programs. I used to teach extra maths in the communities we used to serve in at our schools, because that was, you know, part of who I was, and it's in my DNA, so to speak. And I think now that I'm in a position where, you know, I've got access to corporate clients, I've got access to amazing people that can help me, I'm trying to change the way we do things as human beings. I'm trying to change the way we look at life. You know, I'm very passionate about giving back and doing, you know, get the next person. You must always think of the next person.
Definitely.
I think with my business ventures, I've tried to create them in such a way that whatever projects we do, we need to empower other people.
So you're all about influencing the culture to some degree.
Exactly. Influencing the culture, empowering the next person, and taking people up with you. You know, there's this thing that women, when they get to power positions, corporates or whatever it is, there's a thing that apparently, you know, we get up the lift, you know, we get to the top floor. When you get to the top floor, you literally shut the door and you're like, sorry for you, because I want to pump you, you know. So there's this perception that powerful women do that. So I'm trying to change that from my perspective, and to show people that it's not necessarily the truth. You know, I think, you know, you can see that people are trying to change that, and I think it's not just me, it's just the other people that are trying to say, guys, let's help each other. You know, when you get to the top of the lift, open the lift and let other people come with you.
Exactly.
But while you're doing that, give the people the tools and resources.
Definitely.
You know? And I think that's really who I am and what I'm about.
So I think to add to our discussion, I think something that you can add value in is, what do you think millennials need to move forward and really create the future for the next generation as well?
I think they need direction and guidance. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, I know earlier you spoke about the S's. I think that is it's actually brilliant. I was like, I must use that when I do my talks. The S's, it's the selfies, the self-centeredness, I think that is so powerful, because millennials are driven by that. It's me, and, you know, and it's never about what value can you add in the next person's life?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's scary when you see young people just want to be with the right people at the right place, showing their lifestyle, when, you know, they can do so much more. When you start engaging with them and you realize how much value they can add to just a society, you're like, you get saddened by it, because you think, you know, instead of being so self-centered and being about my Instagram account or whatever it is, think of other people, you know, empower each other. So I think for me, they lack a lot of direction, you know, and guidance. You know, I think we grew up in a time where I was raised by a community of women in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, when Umama said next door was able to reprimand me, you know, and that was how we grew up.
Yeah.
It was never a bad thing. My mom wouldn't have an issue with it, or my dad wouldn't have an issue with it. Now it's a bit harder, you know. And we as parents, the older generation, where we coddle our kids, you know, we don't discipline our kids, you know, and it's harder for somebody outside your family to discipline your child, because it's unheard of, you know. And I think that's part of the reason why these kids are lacking that direction. They're lacking that, you know, that motivation. And also, you look at the older men and even the older women, you know, we're also about popping bottles and the lifestyle and all that stuff. So young people, their role models end up becoming those people. So what do we do in that instance? So now we need to, you know, people like the media and, you know, people that have got the platforms.
Yeah.
They need to start showcasing ordinary South Africans, ordinary people that are doing ordinary things, that are not, you know, on TV, that are not a DJ, that are actually doing things besides themselves.
We have to get to a stage where we're telling real stories.
Exactly. And I think that's the part that we are missing. You know, and I think even the people that have got the power, like, I'll use DJ Spoo for an instance. I mean, he's a powerful brand. And what I love about DJ Spoo is that everything that he does has a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, he's using the platform that he's been given, the tool that he's been given to change other people's lives.
Yeah.
And for me, I think as people on TV, radio, wherever you are, you've been given this amazing tool. It's a powerful tool. You know, instead of using it just for you and self-gratification and how amazing your life is and where you travel all over the world, use it for other people as well. You know, you've been given that. You've been blessed with that tool. Use it for the next, for other people. Mm. And that's the part that I feel is lacking for me from my perspective. Yeah.
Let's actually just, we have a list right here about 15 of some of the greatest leaders in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Throughout history. And, it's quite interesting to see where, who places. How, yeah. Like, who do you guys think is going to be the top three? Like, if you just had to kind of like guess from the top of your head.
I'd probably say Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say, I'm trying to think. Ooh.
I know Mandela has to be
Mandela
there.
Mandela is mm-hmm. also there. He's probably there.
Yeah.
Probably Gandhi
mm-hmm.
on that list.
Cool. You already mentioned yeah. three. Okay, yeah. You can stop right there. Cool. What, you've only mentioned one name.
Yeah, so I feel Mandela's there, definitely. Uh-huh. Gandhi, I agree with you.
Lesego.
No. I'm sorry. Okay. Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King. Yeah. Okay, he should be the third. Okay, yeah. Cool. So it's quite interesting also to find out what moved them and what attracted people to them.
Yeah.
Let's look at some of the first two. First, let's say starting from number 15.
Okay.
Number 15, a gentleman who passed away not too long ago, Fidel Castro.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh. Fidel Castro is one of the two faces of the Cuban Revolution, which started around the year 1953. He went on to become the president and the prime minister of Cuba in the years after the Cuban Revolution. He devised and put into action the entire Cuban Revolution, during which he had to face many problems, crises, and also many attempts of assassination. His vision, courage, and strategic analytical reasoning has gotten Cuba where it stands today. Not just where it stands today, guys.
Yeah.
He has proved to be, over the years, a great leader and a great commander. This type of stuff, guys, don't start when you're 60 or 40. It starts in your 20s. These guys started when they had the most energy. That's the stuff that they were doing. They were doing things to move not themselves, but the whole
people
country.
Around them. Yeah.
The whole country. The saying, you know what, I don't like the way things are being done. And they moved the whole country. And the other one, at number 14, Che Guevara. Yes,
yeah.
Guevara.
Yeah.
So
incredible person.
This gentleman here, you see his picture stenciled on many
T-shirts,
signs along the road. You're thinking, who's this guy? Like, you know, I grew up seeing this face, but I never knew who this is. And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same. And they're not sure who it is, but it looks like, you know, like I thought it was, at some point I thought it was... not Lucky Dube. Who's the other one? Like maybe Bob Marley, Lucky Dube.
Okay.
That vibe. Right, you know, I thought maybe it was just like a really cool guy. You know, I didn't know.
The power.
And I kind of knew that he might be military related because of sometimes you see the emblems, but you never quite knew what it's all about. So his first name is Ernesto. Better known as Che Guevara. He was an Argentinian revolutionary who was, along with Castro, the main man of the Cuban Revolution. He was a trained doctor. Interesting. Trained doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he actually studied for. And a leader in guerrilla warfare. After finishing his education as a doctor, he took a trip across South America with his friends, like a little holiday type of thing, right after studying, or right after graduation. And it was on this trip that he thought of a revolution.
Mm.
Having seen the sorry state of the people in every country, his compassion, charisma, and the love for doing good for others is what attracted so many towards him. Today, he has become a symbol of rebellion world over.
Yeah.
So he found his purpose on holiday.
On holiday.
Damn.
And then, while, like, you're a doctor, why do you have to care about people like that in politics. Just say, no, I'm doing enough healing them. Like, I'm doing my part. I'm fine here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so easy for the mom to have said, hi, man, wena man, don't go klena yako, man. Just go back to your practice. You studied. I paid so much money. True. Don't be out here trying to save the whole country. Not even the country, the whole. I mean, he was trying to save a continent, South America.
Yeah.
What the hell? Trying to save a continent?
That's another level.
Imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to make the revolution of Africa. I'm gonna start it right now. The whole thing. I just graduated. Mom, I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm going to start a revolution for Africa.
What does it take, though? What does it take? Yeah.
I think there's, you know, people like our Shay and all the great leaders. It's how they see other people live. It's about humanity. You know, it's about you wake up every, you know, as much as you are comfortable in your home and you see what you do. When you travel and you get exposed to the world, or even just home at home, your own home, and you wake up in the morning and you see how other people are living and how they're struggling. You're like, no, but guys, something doesn't make sense, you know. And then you look at how the 1% own so much, and yet there's, you know, there's so much inequality in the world. So people like that, to them, something just ignites. Something literally is like, it ignites. Something just ignites to say, you know what, this is rubbish.
You
know, the human beings are supposed to live together. There's so much wealth. We need to share the wealth. And it just takes that. It just takes the one person to have the courage and, you know, to just literally go forward and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to change the world, no matter how big or small. And I think the problem is with us is that we want to change the world big, with big things.
Yeah.
I want to change the world. It's not the big things. It's the little things that you do every day in your life that make a difference to the next person.
Those little things become big things.
Yeah. Exactly. Powerful, you know. Yeah. And I think that's the big thing that young people need to understand, that if you see something and you see the value you want to add, don't want to make it big and I want to do a big event and invite these people. No, start small. You know? Start within your means. Start within what you do and say, okay, you know, 10,000 nyana, maybe I can do a breakfast at my house, invite somebody, a speaker, to come talk to other young kids.
That's how it starts.
Start small, and then you then go big. And I think those people, to them it was like, I see something wrong, I'm going to change it, you know. And they use the people around them.
And those people got attracted to them because of seeing the vision.
The vision.
The charisma and the love.
Absolutely.
So definitely, I know you're hosting an event pretty soon.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that before we even mention the top three, because I want to hear the
top
three.
I'm also crazy. Yeah. So for me, the next gen is really about young people, young people. I'm very passionate about young people. You know, I think young people have got so much tools, and the world is your oyster at the moment. There's so many things that are geared towards you. And at the same time, it's information overload.
Yeah.
So I think for me, the next gen is really just an event for young people to come and talk about, you know, what they're doing, to talk about their careers, to talk about their journey, and for young people to kind of like, you guys are the next leaders, you know, and you need to kind of find ways and tools on how you're going to move forward.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that are happening now that are affecting the way we're moving forward as young people. You know, there's corruption, the economy is not working, jobs, people are losing jobs.
Yeah.
So for me, it's, I you know, we've got speakers that are doing well. You know, they're in their careers, or whether they're in careers, or they are entrepreneurs, and they're going to talk to other young people about their journey, you know, what they did, how they maneuvered to get to where they got.
Yeah.
Just to help other young people to believe that anything is possible. You know, you need to believe that you can do it.
Yeah.
So it's a full day event, 9 till 3 o'clock on the 12th of August.
Where is it exactly?
We've been fortunate to get Standard Bank as incubator as a sponsor. So we're hosting it at the venue at Standard Bank Incubator in Rosebank. And it's also because it ties in nicely with their big campaign that they're talking about called What's Your Next?
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of ties in nicely with us because, you know, it's about next generation. Where are you going? What are you doing as leaders? And I think, you know, for us, it's falling into place very nicely.
No, that's dope. And how do people get tickets and all that?
We are online. Then it's NextGenZA. They can email me directly if they need any information. I'm on Twitter if they want to get, you know, direct information. It's @Tulilo on Twitter. But yeah, we're online. We're tweeting. They can find all the information via online.
No, that's dope. Okay, cool. Weza, I'm ready for the top three.
All right, cool. So some of the other names that are mentioned right here. Number 13, Alexander the Great. He was a great war leader. If you know a thing or two about him, we also got Ashoka here. We've got Winston Churchill at number 11. At number 10, it's Julius Caesar. At number 9, Franklin Roosevelt. We've got at number 8, Napoleon. We've got George Washington. We've got Adolf Hitler coming in at number 6.
Can you believe it?
I think if he was good, he would have been at number 1. It's just that he used his power for evil. So a lot of people are like, and then we've got Mao Zedong at number 5.
Chairman Mao.
We've got at number 4 Abraham Lincoln. And number three, we have Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting. And number two, we've got Nelson Mandela.
All right.
And at number one, we've got Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost on the money, right? So,
now, the interesting thing is, guys, that the top two walks the South African soil. Top two in the history of the world.
The great leaders.
Walked on this very earth. This very soil that we are on now. Who are you not to be great?
Yeah.
Who are you not to be? You breathing the same air as Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela, some of the greatest leaders to ever walk this earth, in according to what some guys are publishing out there. So who are you not to be?
And that's the right question.
Yeah,
that's
but I'm black. Question. I'm not. The top three, two of them are black. Who are you not to be? Great.
Just believe him.
Who are you not to be unstoppable?
Yeah.
Who are you not to make a revolution that will change not only your country, but not only the continent, but the world?
Yeah.
Who are you not to be? Thank you very much for listening, guys. This is Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show, and we're saying, who are you not to be great?
This is CliffCentral.com.